tonight, but we will work through it together this evening as we look to see what God's Word continue to reveal to us about the days of the tribulation and the great tribulation, and of this third round of seven judgments that is poured out from heaven. They're called the bowls of God's wrath, and they're described for us in our text this evening. And so that's what I want us to think on today. That's the title of the message this evening, the bowls of God's wrath. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this evening. Heavenly Father, again, it's a great joy and privilege to gather here this evening and to worship You. We thank You for the sweet fellowship that we have in Christ. And Father, for the joy of lifting our hearts in praise and worship and adoration unto You. God, we thank You for the privilege of prayer, for being a God who hears and answers our prayers and tells us to cast our cares and burdens at Your feet. And so, Father, we've done that tonight, and we continue to do that as Your people, praying for Your healing, praying for Your grace, and praying for a work of Your Spirit in revival and a spiritual awakening, God, in our nation and in our world. Father, we're thankful for the privilege of opening our Bibles, reading Your Word, and having the God of heaven speak to us. God, as we read Your Word tonight, God, we pray that You will illuminate our minds and our hearts through Your Spirit to see the truths that are revealed and to glean from these truths the applications that are needful in our lives. God, may we as Your people not be discouraged, but encouraged as we look to You and trust in You and Your grace and in Your sovereignty. God, may our hearts be burdened, compassionate, and desiring, Father, to be useful of You, Father, Lord, to help many of our loved ones, friends, and family come to a saving knowledge of You, Lord, in these days, especially, Lord, as the darkness grows closer and thicker. Lord, how we desperately need a spiritual work of Your grace in our lives. Father, I just pray You'd hide me behind the cross. Fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, free me to preach Your Word. And Father, we'll be careful, God, to give You the praise and the honor and glory for all that You accomplish and for all that You do. For we ask it all, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, last week we looked at Revelation chapter 15 together, and we talked about this wine of God's wrath, the judgment of God, the full, fierce, and final wrath of God that would be poured out upon the planet in the great tribulation, in the last half of the seven-year tribulation. Tonight, as we look into chapter 16, we see the bowls of God's wrath, those vials, those bowls containing the wine of God's wrath. And we witness those bowls being poured out, being emptied out upon the earth and upon the planet. Tonight, we're literally looking at and seeing through the eyes of John the target of the wine of God's wrath as His wrath is poured out upon the earth in the last days of the tribulation. You see, as we've studied through Revelation together, as we've looked at what the Word of God tells us about the things soon to come in the years of tribulation, we've seen how this world has been ruined by man because of man and his sin and curse of sin. This world has been ruined by man. In the days of the tribulation, we've witnessed how Satan will come to rule the earth through the Antichrist and through the deception of the ministry of the false prophet. We've examined how Satan and his schemes, he'll seek to establish his kingdom and keep the kingdom of Christ and keep Christ from coming. This world will, for a time, appear to be ruled by Satan. But praise God for the Word of God and for the Spirit of God and for what the Word of God tells us here and in the coming chapters. This world that's been ruined by man, that will be ruled by Satan, is going to be rescued by God. the wrath of God, the wine of God's wrath, is going to be poured out upon this world, upon the enemies of God, upon the Antichrist and the false prophet and the kingdom of the Antichrist, and it will become the kingdom of Christ and our Lord. You know, years ago in our previous president and his administration, there was a lot of talk about Target Iraq because of the terrorist attacks on 9/11. There was a move by our president and our military to oust Saddam Hussein, to take out Osama bin Laden. We talked about Target Iraq and we witnessed how Saddam was ousted and eventually Osama bin Laden was taken out. And yet we've noted in these days there's still more targets. We have today Target Iran, and our president today is attacking this situation a little bit different from our previous president. Our previous president decided to unload bombs and unload guns on him, but our president today is unloading our banks. We're just going to smother them with all the money that we can send to Iran and be sure that there'll be no nuclear threat. They'll spend their money wisely and won't seek to do anything against us. Yes, we're living in days of Target Iran, and we're living in the days of Target ISIS, where extreme Islamist terrorists are literally attacking people on trains, on planes, in places, anywhere throughout the world. You hear every week of some attack by ISIS and claiming responsibility for it in the taking of innocent lives. But folks, I want you to understand tonight that this world faces a greater influence and danger than Saddam, Osama, Iraq, Iran, ISIS. This world is under the influence of the devil and the demons of hell. And he is doing everything that he can to deceive men and blind men. And in those last days, in the days of the tribulation, he will literally rule this planet through his deceptions and through the Antichrist and through the false prophet. But folks, the Word of God reveals to us here tonight, the time is going to come when he will be ousted from the throne, where he will be ousted from this planet. And folks, it's going to take more than bombs to do it. It's going to take the bowls of God's wrath, and they will literally be poured out upon this planet and upon this world. In verse 15 of this chapter, we find an interlude, a beatitude of blessing. The Lord Jesus speaks in verse 15. He says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Oh, the Lord Jesus tells us he's coming as a thief. Just like a thief, Christ will come unexpectedly. But folks, we need to understand, and we see it here tonight. Unlike a thief, he's not coming to take what's not rightfully his. He's coming to take what is rightfully his. Oh, this Word of God that we have, this Bible, it is a light to the world. It contains the good news of the gospel of Christ that saves sinners. We've been looking at it on Sunday mornings as we've been studying through the book of Romans together. What a glorious message and glorious truth we find. But we also must recognize this. This book is also a book of judgment. The Old Testament prophets proclaimed the coming day of the Lord. It was to be a day of darkness and a day of judgment. The New Testament preachers continually preached about the wrath of God and the judgment of God upon sin and upon sinners. God's wrath is going to be poured out upon this planet. It will be a fierce wrath. We saw it last week. It'll be a final wrath. It'll be a full wrath. And this evening, as we look into this chapter, we witness those seven bowls as they're literally spilled out upon the planet. And John records it for us, and he shares with us two things in these 21 verses. First of all, we witness the bowls being spilled, and we also see the beast in his kingdom being spoiled by the wrath of God. Notice what it says there in verse 1 as we look at the bowls being spilled. He says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.'" Here John tells us he hears this voice from the throne. It's the voice of God. He's telling these seven angels that came out of the temple that have the vials, the bowls of wrath that contain the wine of God's wrath, to go and to pour them out. And like lightning flashing, they begin to pour out. They, in formation, we witness them as they peel off in formation, one by one, one after the other, dumping the bowls of God's wrath upon the earth and the intended targets. We see the earth is targeted, the seas are targeted, the fresh waters, the sun, the beast and his kingdom, and the air, as all of this is targeted by the wrath of God. As we witness them together tonight, we can't help be reminded that they are very similar to the plagues that were brought upon Egypt. Also to some of those trumpet judgments that we witnessed not too long ago in our study of Revelation. They're very similar because there's darkness, there's hailstorms, there's water turning into blood. There's an invasion from the east, either by insects or by demons or by armies of men. They're very similar, and yet they're different. You see, when those plagues came upon Egypt, they were localized. They were focused upon the nation of Egypt, upon the Egyptians. In those trumpet judgments, it was told us time and time again, a third of the earth was affected, a third of the waters, a third. But here, when the wine of God's wrath is poured out from these bowls upon the earth and upon their targets, we see it is a complete worldwide and universal effect of these judgments that God brings in what we call the Great Tribulation. Each bowl, we see in the first four bowls, they bring a specific plague, a specific judgment. In verse 2, that first bowl is spilled, and it describes for us something like a cancerous sore that will appear upon men. Notice what it said in verse 2. "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." Kind of reminds us of the sixth plague of Egypt and the sores and the boils that came upon men. And here the Word of God says those who submitted to the beast, those who have taken the mark, they will experience these sores. That the word noisome and grievous sore, it pictures for us an ulcerous, oozing, incurable, a cancerous type sore that will occur upon those who are serving the beast. We've witnessed earlier the angels of heaven declaring that God's judgment and torment was going to be poured out upon those who worship the beast. And we were warned, the angels were in heaven warned not to take the mark because of the torment, the eternal torment. And here we see even the temporary torment that will occur during those days as they're stricken with these cancerous sores that bring pain and bring torment. I remember years ago reading about scientists, and they were talking about how to deal with credit card fraud, and they began to experiment with putting computer chips under our skin. I remember reading an article one time about how the only problem was that getting the sore, getting the incision to heal because of that computer chip. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I do know this. The Word of God says there's coming a day when everyone who's taken the mark of the beast will be afflicted with these terrible, painful sores that will break out upon them, just like those boils that came upon the Egyptians in that plague. Then we see the second bowl and bowl, and it describes a contamination of the seas. Look in verse 3. It says, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." Kind of reminds us of that first plague where God turned the water of the Nile into blood. Those trumpet judgments, one of those trumpet judgments, we witnessed a third of the seas that was turned to blood. Here the Word of God tells us all of the seas on the surface of this planet will be turned to blood or as blood, just like a pool of dark, thick, coagulated blood. Can you imagine the bodies, the sea life on the, lining the shores of the planet, the stench of death? This world will literally be girdled in death as the seas literally turn to blood. Now there is an occurrence that happens quite normally. It's called the red tide. It's a massive growth of dinoflagellates in the water. It turns the water blood red. It causes sea life to die. In 1949, a red tide occurred. It decimated part of Florida's coast. I don't know. The Word of God tells us the whole seas will be as blood. I don't know if it's blood or dinoflagellates. I just know it's going to look like blood. It's going to be death. And this world will experience the great bowl of God's wrath. And then it moves on to not just the waters of the sea, but the fresh waters. The source of our drinking water will be corrupted as well. Verse 4 through 7, we see the third bowl. It says, "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." When this third bowl is filled or poured out, there'll be a corruption of the fresh water throughout the face of this planet. The third trumpet tells us there a third of the fresh water was affected. Now all of it is corrupted. Can you imagine what it will be like on this planet when there's no drinkable water to deal with our thirst? Can you imagine what it would be like to have no water to wash or to cleanse these oozing, ulcerous, cancerous sores on the bodies of men? Can you imagine what it would be like to not have any water to drink as we see the next bowl poured out in the heat of the sun, so intense that men are scorched by the heat of the sun? Can you imagine what it will be like when there's no water to drink, no water to refresh, no water to help effect healing? At this point, we're probably wondering, how could a God in heaven do this to the earth and to those that He's created? Well, you see, that's why John records for us the angel of the waters speaking. The Bible reveals to us that God apparently has angels assigned to what we call the elements or the forces of nature, wind and fire and earth and water. And here we literally hear the angel of the waters speak. And as he speaks, he proclaims this: God is holy, God is just, God is righteous in doing what he's done, in contaminating the water and the streams. Why? Because men of the earth drank or sought to destroy the saints of God. They had a thirst for blood. And even today, we're living in a society where innocence is being killed and murdered, where babies in the wombs of their mothers are being murdered. And literally, the Word of God says this: there's coming a time when God in His justice will act, and He will give men exactly what they deserve. He will give them blood to drink because that is what they thirsted for. That is what they did. They shed the blood of the saints of God. They shed the blood of innocence. Folks, there's one thing that is very rarely mentioned today in the church that used to be proclaimed and needs to continually be proclaimed, and that is this. Our God is a God of love. Our God is a God of grace. Our God is a God of mercy. But when grace and mercy is refused and rejected by men, all that is left for them is the judgment and justice and wrath of a holy God. We don't want to talk about that today. And that's why there's no fear of men today of the holy God of heaven. We must understand. I've heard many people today say, well, I want justice. I want justice. I want to tell you, no, you don't. You better stick with the grace and mercy of God. You don't want justice. You don't want what you deserve. See, the Bible's filled with those in whom God gave justice. See, Pharaoh, he wanted to drown the male Hebrew children in the Nile. He witnessed his army drown in the Red Sea. Haman, he built a gallows to hang Mordecai the Jew on. He swung from it in the end. The Antichrist will be warring against the saints. He will seek to kill and spill the blood of the saints of God. And you know what God in heaven will give the Antichrist and his kingdom and his followers? He'll give them blood to drink. Then notice the fourth bowl. There will be a catastrophe of the sun that will literally affect the whole life upon this planet. Verse 8 and 9 it says, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. When that fourth bowl is spilled, the entire earth is affected. It affects the sun. There's a catastrophic event in the sun. You remember in the trumpet judgment, the light of the sun was dimmed. It didn't shine as long as it used to. It's as if God turned the thermostat down a little bit. But here in the bowl judgment, the bowl is poured out upon the sun and the heat is turned up. Maybe some type of massive solar flare or destructive event in the life of the sun occurs. And what literally happens is the heat is turned up. It's amazing when you look in God's Word. When God's Son died on the cross, He put the sun out. In the last days of the tribulation, He's literally going to stoke the fires of the sun to the point that the heat is so great, the atmosphere becomes like fire and it literally scorches men. The sun that now brings life and healing to this planet will become a deadly killer on this planet. And with all of that, in those first four bowls of judgment, the bowls being spilled, it says this: they blasphemed God. They repented not. If men are not won by grace, they will not be won by anything. And that brings us to the last half of the chapter. And it brings us to a unique division here in these seven bowls of the wrath of God. You see, we've witnessed it before in the seal judgments and in the trumpet judgments. They're always grouped in two groups. There's the first four, and then there's the last three. You remember at the end of the fourth trumpet judgment, there was an angel that flew through heaven. Woe for the three woes to come. The fifth trumpet, the sixth trumpet, and now the seventh trumpet has sounded. The third woe has come. The seven last angels, the seven angels with the last plagues, are now pouring out the bowls of God's wrath and judgment. That third woe has come. Those first four bowls have been spilled. The whole earth and creation has been affected by it. Men are experiencing universal suffering and catastrophe. And yet they're refusing to repent. And now these final three bowls are poured out. And these bowls, their target is the beast and his kingdom. When these three bowls are poured out completely, the kingdom of the beast, the Antichrist, it will be dealt with completely. It will be concluded. The wrath of God will be poured out upon his kingdom. And we're going to see that broken down in detail. In chapter 17, we're going to witness the destruction of the religious system of the beast. In chapter 18, we're going to witness the destruction of the political system of the beast. In chapter 19, we're going to witness the destruction of the military system of the beast. All because of the bowls of God's wrath that God pours out upon the Antichrist. See, the bowls are spilled, and the end result is this: the beast is spoiled. His kingdom, his power, is literally taken from him. We see that in these last three bowls. Notice with me quickly. We see the darkness comes upon the beast and upon his kingdom in the next bowl, the fifth bowl, verse 10 and 11. It says, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." Kind of reminds us of that ninth plague, the darkness that fell upon the people of Egypt, that fifth trumpet judgment where there was a darkness. Now we see the beast and his kingdom literally plunged into darkness. The world has wanted darkness. It has rejected the light of truth. It has sought the spiritual darkness of spiritual demons and devils of hell. And the Word of God tells us God will literally pour out upon this planet a darkness that is so thick it can be felt. And it will come upon the Antichrist and those who worship and serve him. And look, he will be utterly helpless to do anything about it. And yet, people love darkness. They love sin. They'll continue to look to the Antichrist rather than repent and look to God and call upon God. He will act in retaliation, but he will not be able to do anything against the wrath of God that will be poured out upon him. Notice the next bowl, we see deployment for the battle of Armageddon, verses 12 through 15. "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." Jesus says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." The sixth bowl is poured out. The great Euphrates is literally dried up. It paves the way for the kings of the east to make their way with their armies to the battlefield known as Megiddo, the Battle of Armageddon. You remember when we study through Daniel in history, Babylon, the great empire of Babylon, was defeated by Cyrus the Persian because he diverted the Euphrates River. It enabled him to enter the city and to take and to destroy the king of Babylon and the nation and the empire of Babylon. But here, in these last days, in the great tribulation, the Euphrates will literally be dried up. I mean, remember, the sun is literally scorching men with fire. And this great river, and it truly is a great river. I'm told it's 1,800 miles long, 3,600 feet wide in places, 30 feet deep in places. It makes it a natural barrier to protect against invading armies, but it will literally be dried up and a way will be paved, and God will literally allow the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet and their deceptive miracles to occur. They will literally, the Antichrist will literally deceive the kings of the earth to bring them there to the place of Israel in the valley there of Megiddo for a great battle. The Battle of Armageddon. The industrial might of Japan and the nuclear know-how of China will all be added together, and all of these kings and their kingdoms and their armies will gather there for this great battle. We talk about the Battle of Armageddon, but you know what? The word Megiddo, it means a place of troops, a place of slaughter. It's not going to be a battle. It's just going to be a place of slaughter. Napoleon said the valley there of Megiddo and the plains of Esdraelon, he said it's the most natural battlefield on the face of the planet, 14 miles wide, 20 miles wide long. And the armies of the world will be gathered there for the greatest battle of all, the battle of earth against God. And it will be a bloodbath. Notice the last bowl. We see the destruction of Babylon. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, which commentators say 100 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. When that seventh bowl is spilled, the destruction of Babylon that has been proclaimed will be fulfilled and accomplished. It's signaled by a voice from heaven. As it spilled, that voice from heaven, the voice of God says, "It is done." You remember after the seventh seal, after the seventh trumpet, here again after the seventh bowl, there's this great thunderstorm. There's lightning flashing. The great storm of God's wrath is breaking out upon Babylon. And when it clears, we're going to see it in just a few chapters, there will be peace and calm on this planet for 1,000 years. The heavens themselves will speak through voices of thunder. There'll be a great earthquake, the greatest earthquake that this earth has ever and will ever experience. Other prophets and prophecies of Scripture revealed to us that the topography of Jerusalem is literally going to be changed. The prophets prophesy of Jerusalem being the highest place on the planet, and a river of healing water flowing from it to all of the planet, and nations of the world and people of the world coming to Jerusalem to worship God. Many believe this city of Babylon will be rebuilt. Saddam Hussein spent much money in rebuilding that old city of Babylon. And if that city is rebuilt physically, it will be destroyed. It will be accomplished just as the Word of God has proclaimed. All the planet will be reconfigured. The mountains will be flattened. The islands will no longer be present. This whole planet will literally be changed. There'll be no such thing as an uninhabitable place or an inaccessible place. The world will be returned eventually to the state in which it was when God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden. But as that judgment is coming, as that is preparing for what's to come, the hail will fall from the skies upon the men, sinners who are blaspheming God. 100-pound hail falling and crushing men, and all the while blaspheming. You know, the law of God commanded those who blaspheme God to be stoned. Well, I want you to see here, in those days, he who is without sin will cast the stones. He'll cast them from the heavens, the very throne of God. And God's judgment and wrath will be full and final. The bowls will be spilled. The beast will be spoiled. And Christ will come again to rule and to reign. As we conclude tonight, I want to go back to verse 17. Because it says there that seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of heaven, out of the temple, from the throne, saying, "It is I can't help but be reminded that our Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary, as He was dying for our sin and offering Himself as a sacrifice for our sins, He said this, "It is finished." God's judgment of Christ at Calvary provides salvation for repentant sinners, because the work of salvation, the work of redemption, is done. It's finished. It's accomplished. But at the end of the tribulation, when the bowls of God's wrath and the full wrath of God is poured out, the wine of God's wrath, when it's poured out upon the planet, upon a planet of blaspheming, unrepentant sinners, the word from the temple in heaven will be, "It is See, folks, Mount Calvary and Megiddo are two altars of sacrifice on this planet. They're both bloodbaths. The cross of Calvary, Jesus took the judgment of God that we as sinners deserved so that we could be forgiven and saved. But at the Valley of Megiddo, those who refuse to repent and trust in Christ and receive the grace of God will experience the judgment and wrath of a holy and a righteous judge. But before the bowls are spilled, before the beast in his kingdom rises and is spoiled, may I just suggest to you, if you haven't already, that you be plunged beneath that flood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. Where sinners plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for your truth, revelation of your sovereignty. And Father, even in the proclamation of your judgment, Father, we see your grace in that you're long-suffering and you're patient and you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Father, you have stayed your hand of judgment. Today is a day of salvation. There's coming a day when this planet will experience the divine wrath of a holy God. But now, there's still time. There's still hope for sinners to be saved. God, would you grant that many come to know Christ and that, Lord, our hearts would be filled with compassion and burden for the lost. That we'd have the courage to proclaim the truth that judgment is coming, but to proclaim the good news that now, the grace of God has provided forgiveness and salvation through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and honor and glory for all that you accomplish, Lord, in our hearts and lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we sing together. Won't you stand? Won't you come? This altar's open. Won't you come this evening?